don't say you can sing that song and be singing the truth as it is in your heart. They're always glad when we meet back at the Lord's house, which the Lord called a house of prayer, and said it should be called that by all nations. Glad to have everyone with us, have some children with us, I believe, tonight. We appreciate them being with us. For the whole of them, and we appreciate that. All the rest of you, we are glad always to see everyone. I have thought during this day and every day as far as that's concerned, how many people in the world are really concerned about the prophecy or the teaching here in this book. In our last trip here, the last effort we put forth, we talked to you, whether you remember it or not, about the past, the present, the future. And of course, we didn't talk about all of it. We didn't call all of the scriptures to your attention. But tonight, if the questions were asked before service, and of course, I never said all of it, but some questions that was asked concerning what I feel is on my heart to talk about tonight. That is what's recorded in the Bible. And people, of course, will go on until the end of time. According to the Bible, there'll be some that will run back to their house. Lord should not do that, they think that. And on the housetop, not to come back, to be all over. And so, it behooves each and every one of us to think about these things and try to get all done. Are you a good soldier of the cross? Paul spoke to Timothy, and it's recorded in the book of Timothy for him, as Paul spoke to Timothy, to be a good soldier. And that means something. When the war is over, the victory is won. I can remember several wars. I can remember the rejoicing of World War I. I can remember that, how the bells were ringing, telephones like seemed to have in the communities at that time. And people going from one place to another to carry the news. We're in a battle as Christians. As it's already been said here before we start the service, this is the Bible. And there's so much in the Bible that's referring to children of God, and probably that we overlook, or we don't try to weigh it or really get the full meaning of it. That's the main thing. It's not being able to read the Bible. That's good. And we should try to do that, prepare ourselves. But though you might not be able to read but a little, but what little you can read, try to understand that. I've seen all this fast reading that they have. Now then, they're saying that when they go through to that, they don't know what to read. And you know, their minds did not even meditate on that. It's going through so fast. So tonight, I want us to pray. Try as best you can to get set or get your mind set. Try to go along, find out what's recorded in this Bible. We're referring to children of God, and also, now people say, why did you preach so much to the children of God? If the children of God of the church is not united together, one mind, and with one accord, there's not going to be anything accomplished. That's what the book says. I want you tonight, at this time, to say this. I want you wherever you are, and I want you to pray everybody. I feel like that we want to pray everybody. Just as you feel, God directs. I think people that really do believe that, according to all evidence, that's true. In other words, you can just blot out the word time or the meaning of it when you're talking about God and eternity. Of course, I told you before, people have asked concerning the beginning of God. That is, where did he come from? And just many, many questions. But after all, we told you, I believe, our last trip over here, that Isaiah the prophet said the long ago, he said before, referring to God, before the day was, I am he. He also said, before me there was no God, neither shall there be any after me. And in the Revelation letter and other places as well, the Lord said, I'm the beginning and the end. Tonight, we're going to read, I believe we'll enlighten you a little more on what we, the remarks that were made concerning the fulfilling of the Gentiles. And, of course, the Jews, the records we have of the Jewish people, as we all know, that is, people that read the Bible. Of course, God made choice of Israel and referred to them as his people. But there has to be a beginning, and then this goes on, links together on down through, as we have the record. And I want to read just a few verses here, as we read here in the New Testament, in two different places. And, of course, we have recorded in the book of Matthew and also in the book of Luke, we have referring to the same thing, but worded a little different. And tonight, we're going to begin here where he was speaking to the people, and he told them to lift up their heads and rejoice, because their redemption draweth nigh. Then we'll start reading that that we have just after that he made that speech. And he spake unto them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the tree. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. Now the point that I would like for you to get here is that when that one season we have, of course, as we're living now in the winter months, we have also spring, as we refer to it, and then fall. We have all these different seasons here, and
we know that when spring opens up, whatever you're going to plant, whatever you're going to do, that season just lasts so long. People know. You see them out a little late in the summer, they can plant stuff and it'll come up all right. But the season won't last long enough for it to mature. And so that's why, as he said this, now notice as we move on. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is not at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. You ever studied that verse? This generation. Have you ever stopped to study about it? Well, we'll give you more of the Bible concerning that. But then the next verse, and I might give that where he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now that's in the book of Luke 21. Now then, there are many verses, scriptures, that we could read, but I want to read, keep in mind, that he talked about the three. There's a sign. And you may know that summer is nigh when you see something. And so then he linked that in with the end of time. And now then, the next verses, you probably won't get too much out of this until we study it a little more later on. And he said, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now this links in with this generation that I read back in the book of Luke, and this is in Revelation 11. But I wanted to read these verses. Sometimes we call people, and I do, of course, all through my effort of preaching, and try to figure where it can be found. If I don't pick up that much time, we have always told you that we would point out to you if there's any doubt in your mind at all. And so tonight, we know that people have been blessed. Now when you turn to Jerusalem, and we read a lot about Jerusalem, which there are two of them in the Bible that we read about, but they're all together different. The old Jerusalem is not the new Jerusalem. Old Jerusalem is old Jerusalem, and new Jerusalem is yet to come down from God out of heaven. Revelation 21. Now then, of course, you remember that the Lord told people long, long ago to go to Jerusalem, old Jerusalem. And he told them when they got there to wait for the tarry there until they were endued with power from on high. And of course, you know about that. And so then tonight, people that don't read the Bible, don't study it, you can take little children, 5 and 6 years old, and you can ask them about programs on the television. They can tell you the name of that program, what hour it has come on, who is the main ones, are those main ones that play in that, and all. But when it comes to the Bible, millions of people are just as blank. The only thing, the evidence that they'd ever get would be the great power of God dealing with them. And that might be on any other of any preacher, that there'll be evidence that there is power in what we have to say. And that tonight, as I said, you remember, and I want to keep this in mind, you remember here that he said, when you see these things, you will know that somewhere near in the future, this is going to be fulfilled. And that is when you see the tree, and then he said, all tree. When you see the evidence, those buds, why, you may know that summer is not. Now then, of course, that parable he was speaking, and the parable, of course, as we said in the Bible, we know that it is an earthly thing having a heavenly meaning. A parable. And he compares these things, and that's why that we have this lesson. And then you remember when the management here of the temple in the Revelation letter, why he told them what to measure and what not to measure. And then the court that's without, referring to the Gentiles, then of course, he said, measure it not. And tonight the question arose here, and that is, how full of, or how much more time do we have as the Gentile race? The Gentile race will go so far that God, according to this Bible, will have to shorten the day. Why, there'll be no flesh there. That's in Matthew 24. And, of course, you remember that he said, except those days be shortened, that no flesh be saved. But for the next day, those days shall be shortened. And then, what I did here, that I didn't read it or link it in with these verses in Luke, you remember that he was referring only to saved people when he said, lift up your head and rejoice. Why? Because your redemption draweth nigh. There's better than the people of God. They died, of course, in the wars that we've had. But don't forget this, that God's people don't rejoice over people being killed. But we do rejoice because God has given us the victory over sin, over the devil, and all of his work. Now then, to Paul, as we have his record here in Timothy, 2 Timothy to be correct, in 4, that chapter 4, you remember that he said, he spoke out and said, my departure is at hand. In other words, God has revealed it to us, but his time was short. He's going to have to go. He said that my departure is at hand. And he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. In other words, I've gone to the limit of my preaching. My warfare is near the end, and I can say that same thing tonight. I know that. You know, I'm looking in the faces of others here tonight, according to nature. We don't have to ask somebody, am I near death than I was when I was just a child? You know it. You know that. There's a limit to our life while we live here in the world. And Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Then he went on to say that there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me, which the righteous judge would give him at that day. And then he said, not for me only, but for all them that love one, his appearance. Now, there are not many people living in this world that want the Lord to come back. Did you know it? Not very many. You could canvass this community and go around and ask people, well, are you anxious for the Lord to come back? And are you expecting it? Well, it'd be like the one problem that answered here in 2 Peter chapter 3. When the day started, and he spoke out concerning his thoughts, and they would ask the question, the dead God, and they said, where is the promise of his coming? And he said, things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, the most of this congregation here, and I spoke back in the very beginning of this year and before, was ended, that you'd see and hear more strange things than you'd heard in all of your life. And you're hearing of that. You have also, as I said, you have experienced, and the people, not only church, but even the lost people, they talk to me about hearing me saying these things as they would happen. Now, in this year, and has been the worst winter that we have ever experienced. And of course, I know that I've talked to old people, people up back in their 80s, maybe near 90, some of them have reached the year of 90 years. But tonight, the main thing is to get over to you. People are not thinking. And the Lord is giving us everything before our eyes that you. They asked for a sign. They wanted a sign. They wanted to know about something by seeing. Now then, the Lord has left the lesson here to the Gentiles that we can look out also to the Jews too if they will take it. His lesson here, that you could see these things. Now, he didn't just point out the tree. He just didn't leave you pinned out like that. You would hear of wars and rumors of war. Have you heard of that? Earthquakes and diverse places. Have you heard that? Many false prophets would go out. Have you ever heard of many, if you want to use this, of different denominations? They're springing up everywhere. Everywhere. Not when I was named, I guess, according to that. And now then, of course, they're trying now. And got the move on, as I told you here, and I'll repeat this, but to try to get you to remember, they're trying up. For all kinds of people. If you're a murderer or other things that I won't even mention, and that they've got all of these started, and these things are facing us, we're confronted with them every day that we live. And the night and wondering. And I pondered in my mind and in my heart. I see these things, they're coming to pass. And they're right before our eyes. You know it. People back, days gone back. If a child of God under the rules and regulations, and also here, all back in the Paul's day. That is when he lived here in the flesh. And you remember that he was begging to go into a certain place. And they didn't want him to go in there. And people are talking about and saying, well, is this thing? Will this hurt me? Every time that you heard an individual that lost in sin, you're going to weaken the power. Paul said one time, as we talked to you about 1 Corinthians 8, that is chapter 8, you remember that they were there at the idol's temple. And they were eating meat in there. That was not lawful. They brought the people that looked on and they said, well, under God's law, they ought to eat this. Now listen to what Paul said, and that's why I'm taking my time. This may, you may break to the side. You may say, I'm not getting anything out of it. I can't help it. I'm doing my best to get this over to you, that you'll stop and think. What I mean to that, yes, I believe God's people can prolong our time here because the Bible gives us the record. But Paul said, when he was talking to us, he said, I'm going there and eat that meat. It won't hurt me. If I go in there and eat it, it won't hurt me to do that. And if I leave it all, it won't hurt me. Either way, but listen to what he said, the meaning of it. If I go to this building and I'm there, seated in there, eating this meat, and here's the statement he made. He said, if meat or eating of meat was the meaning of it, if the eating of this makes my brother to offend, I'll eat no flesh while the world stands. Here's something that a lot of people could hit me in the face with a brick when I preach it. But I challenge you, according to the words sent in this verse, they'll go into places and they'll say, well, this doesn't hurt me, or that doesn't hurt me. And that's why that so many people, I believe them people, now, you talk about ball games and all of these things. Young people have been playing ever since I've been in the world. I played when I was a child. I enjoyed it. And every child enjoyed that. I believe that. But listen, here is the answer to that. Paul saw that coming in his day. And you can read it, 2 Timothy, chapter 3, if you care to read that. And he said, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men would be lovers of their own selves. Are we living in that day? Are we? And he said,